T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is 3:10 on Friday afternoon. Craig Schroepfer is at the helm. Susan and Paul are taking their days off. Thanks for being here with me, Craig.
My pleasure, Jordana.
What a crappy day for Paul to take off. What is he thinking? He knows what the weather's going to be. He can see into the future. And he has left me. I barely know how to read the Doppler. I didn't invent it. And he leaves me to cover Florence. Oh, I'm so disappointed. So disappointed.
You can handle it.
As you know, well, many of you know, I did run his weather channel for a year, so I probably can.
I've been told that.
Going to be
yes.
Okay. We're going to be okay, folks. Yes. We're going to get through Florence. But he is with his 88-year-old dad, Folker, who you heard, of course, on the show. If you didn't, I urge you to go and listen to the podcast from yesterday. Folker was telling stories, and it was fantastic. The stories today are coming out of the Barrier Islands and out of North Carolina. And, of course, we're following Florence. I know you're getting updates at the top and bottom of the hour, but if you're just tuning in, about 4 minutes ago, I have this latest report. Authorities are reporting another 2 deaths in North Carolina, bringing the death toll to 4 from Florence. One person was electrocuted in Lenoir County trying to plug in a generator. Authorities in Pender County claimed that a woman with a medical condition called for assistance, but responders were unable to reach her in time. There were large trees blocking her road. And then, of course, another tragic story in the morning that a mother and infant were killed in Wilmington when a tree fell on their home. Clearly a deadly and dangerous storm. And we're watching it here also and just bringing you these stories. If you have relatives, if you have friends, anybody that you know or you love that you've been communicating with, that might be in the path. Maybe they stayed, or maybe they have been evacuated to a shelter, or maybe they've come to visit you and stay with you in this beautiful safe haven of Minnesota that we have. I would love you to share their stories. Chime in on how Florence is affecting you or your loved ones. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Coming up at 3:35, we're actually going to speak with the executive director of Nahama. Nahama is an aid organization. David Kaplan is the executive director. Nahama is based locally, and what they do is they go into disaster areas and they do the work that nobody else wants to do. Nobody else wants to do it. They clean out the muck that's in the carpets and in the gutters, and they do the literally the dirty work, and they help aid folks when FEMA and when the National Guard has left areas. The rebuilding still needs to happen. Often the poorest people are left in the wake. That's what Nahama does. They go in and they serve the underserved. So we're going to speak with David Kaplan. He has a band of volunteers that is going down on Sunday to help with the disaster relief and get those folks in North Carolina back on their feet again. So I'm here to hear your stories. Share them. Absolutely. Share your Florence stories at 651-989-9226 or send me a text at 81807. The other big story of the day, Paul Manafort. Yeah, you kind of heard this one. We'll delve a little deeper. We're trying to get Mike Bryant, a criminal defense attorney, on our show at 5:10 to talk a little bit more about this. What exactly do these charges mean? They could mean 10 years in prison for Paul Manafort. And then, is a pardon in order? And that's really my question for you. If you're just tuning in for the first time today and you're at work, you have a life, I understand you're not following the news. Let me just give you the rundown of what's been going on in the life of Paul Manafort. Mr. Manafort, Donald Trump's former campaign chair, pleaded guilty to 2 counts of conspiracy, and he has agreed to cooperate with Robert Mueller's inquiry into Russian interference in the 2016 election. So this is what Manafort has pleaded guilty to: conspiring to defraud the U.S. and conspiring to obstruct justice. Two charges: conspiring to defraud the U.S. and conspiring to obstruct justice. There were 10 charges. There were 10 charges, and the other charges are being dropped because he pled guilty to these two. Mueller's team indicated that Mr. Manafort could receive a maximum of 10 years in prison for these charges. He is supposed to cooperate, quote, fully, truthfully, completely, and forthrightly. All four of those things might mean the same thing, but we said it four times. Fully, truthfully, completely, and forthrightly. The plea deal allows Manafort to avoid a second criminal trial, which was due to start in Washington next week. The White House says this case is totally unrelated to President Trump. Just a little background now. Last month, Paul Manafort was convicted of 8 counts related to financial crimes, and this was in a separate case in Virginia. These charges were in Washington. Separately in Virginia, he was convicted of 8 counts of financial crimes. Oh, my goodness. So he's in quite a bit of a mess. But now he is going to cooperate with Robert Mueller's investigation. The question I have for you, should he be able to get a pardon from no matter what happens, no matter what he says, should he be able to get a pardon from, and should he, do you think the president should pardon Paul Manafort no matter what happens? My phone number is 651-989-9226, 81807. Mueller's team disclosed some new details, by the way, about Manafort's work as an unregistered lobbyist in the U.S. for a guy named Viktor Yanukovych. I'm probably butchering that because, you know, my Russian, not totally up to snuff. Viktor Yanukovych, the Ukrainian president, deposed. Ukrainian. I think that's my. I'm not speaking Russian. I'm speaking Ukrainian. Deposed in a popular uprising in February 2004. Manafort allegedly orchestrated a plan to smear Yanukovych, his rival. His rival was Yulia Tymoshenko. So he planned, allegedly, he planned to smear his rival with allegedly no fingerprints, all right, saying, making allegations against the rival that the rival had paid for the murder of a Ukrainian official. Quote, this is a quote from Manafort in a message, "My goal is to plant some stink on Tymo," which is the president's rival. Okay, so he was paid basically to smear this guy's, too loud, Hammer. He was paid to smear this guy's rival. Now he is expected to cooperate fully, truthfully, completely, and forthrightly. Because, you know, he sounds like a trustworthy guy. So I don't see any problems there. Skip's in Bloomington. Hey, Skip, thanks for calling in.
Hi, Jordana.
Hey, Skip.
I think he should be pardoned because I think he's pled guilty to take it for the team, so to speak.
You know what? This is interesting. And I almost feel, well, again, I almost feel like a pardon, if that were the case, might not be that far off, because then he would be, Paul Manafort could be free to say whatever he's going to say. If he's supposed to cooperate fully, truthfully, completely, and forthrightly, then maybe if he knew he was going to get pardoned, he would tell the truth. He'd lay it all out there. So, and Skip, maybe that might not be your methodology why he should be pardoned, but I mean, I'm trying to see all sides of whether or not he should. But Skip in Bloomington says he should. Anything else, sir?
No, I'm just curious to see what the latest casualties are after the hurricane in the Carolinas and see if
so
they
sad.
Come up with another 3,000 people. Have a good day.
We remember Skip from yesterday. We remember Skip from yesterday. Yes, facts, Skip, facts. That's what we got. Right now, there are 4 casualties for the Hurricane Florence. We're praying that there are no more. God forbid we should have another travesty like the 2,900 plus people that were killed due to Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. God forbid. We hope that we won't even come close to those kind of numbers down on our coasts. Jerry's in Plymouth. Hey, Jerry, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, I side with the previous caller. I believe they should pardon him just to stick it up Mueller's behind. I tell you what, these charges are such a bunch of BS. The conspiracy to defraud the United States, good God, the United States defrauds its own citizens day after day after day. And they're going to charge this guy as a criminal?
So you're saying if somebody did something illegal, if he conspired to defraud the United States, just because you're making the claim that, oh, other people do it, then he should not be held accountable?
No, because not specifically that reason. I mean, I'm all for people being held accountable. The problem is if you're going to hold people accountable, you need to hold all accountable, not just the one guy who you think you can use to try to get to Trump.
I agree with you.
That's what this whole damn thing is about, and everybody knows it. That's why he ought to be pardoned. I have no problem. If this guy was some regular Joe and he actually committed some crimes, I'd say, fine, prosecute him. He's only being prosecuted, like Trump has said a million times, because he's got some connection to Trump. That's why these charges are such a bunch of BS. Nobody even knows what it means, defrauding the U.S. What exactly did this guy supposedly do? I wasn't defrauded. I'm a member of the U.S. I wasn't defrauded. Who the heck was defrauded?
But if he made money outside of the United States as a lobbyist and didn't pay taxes, that's a crime.
We have members of Congress who trade on inside information in the stock market every single day.
And they should be prosecuted.
They never are. That's why they're poor when they go in and they're rich when they come out. They have access to information. Information is the most valuable resource in the world. Not oil, not jewelry, not anything else. Information. This Manafort thing is garbage. And my, Mueller is just a piece of garbage.
And Jerry, I hear you saying, that you feel that people who commit crimes all should be prosecuted. And I think we are in agreement on that. Whether his name is Paul Manafort, whether it's Rick Gates, whether it's Michael Cohen, whatever, whether it's Hillary Clinton, whether it's any other person who committed a crime against the government or another person, they should be prosecuted. And at least we can all, I feel, probably be united on that. It is 3:22. I have to take a break. I promise we will revisit this at 5:10 and I will open the phones again. But when we get back, Tim Lammers is going to lighten it up with a look at the movies this weekend.
Predators just don't sit around making hats out of rib cages. They conquered space. But that's not what's on the horizon.
Should I be worried?
I think you know what is on the ship. The ultimate predators.
Oh, boy. Tim Lammers' movie reviews are brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys. Seeking justice for the injured, find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Tim Lammers joins us now to lighten things up and talk movies. Hey, Tim.
I hope to, Jordana. Yeah, The Predator. Of course, you heard the voice of Sterling K. Brown and Boyd Holbrook. No Arnold Schwarzenegger in this one, although he originated the series 30 years ago. Of course, it's about this alien that invades Earth and can pretty much take down any human in its way. So there was that first film. There was a second one with Danny Glover. Then we had Alien vs. Predator and a reboot in 2010, which didn't do anything. So now one of the original stars, Shane Black, from the first Predator movie, wrote and directed this sequel, although I consider it another reboot. And what he brings is the same sort of Predator that we've seen before, but so much more humor to the film. So it's more of an action, sci-fi, almost want to say comedy, because it is funny how he's really lightened things up considerably.
Tim, I heard that it was so scary that people were walking out of the theater because it was so disturbing.
Well, you know.
Did you sit through the whole thing?
Sure. I mean, yeah, I've seen a lot more, disturbing films. I mean, you have to take this one with a grain of salt because, obviously, yeah, there is violence and there's over-the-top gore.
Ugh.
But when it is so over-the-top, it's almost comical in a way. And that sort of thing brings in the laughs, so you have the laughs coming from that. But you also have the laughs coming from the dialogue. So I think it's considerably lighter. Does it scare some people? I'm sure it does, just in the way that its movie cousin Alien does. So,
scary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so I'm not taking the kids, and I'm probably not going to see it. But
definitely,
for
it's an R-rated movie.
Right.
So yeah, not for younger kids.
But for the people who love that kind of thing, it's a
absolutely
good reboot.
Absolutely, yeah, for fans especially.
All right, now out on video, there's Heredity.
I recognize you from your mother.
What? Sometimes I swear I can feel them in the room.
She isn't gone.
Oh, apparently it's Hereditary. Susan mislabeled it here. Hereditary
no,
or
no,
Heredity?
No, that's fine. Hereditary. Now, if you're talking about a movie that's so scary that people walked out, I didn't see it in the theater, so I can't tell you for sure. But I think it would have been one of those films.
Really?
I mean, this,
oh, gosh.
Unlike The Nun last week, which has the lighter moments that it's entertaining. It's more of a ride. This is just downright disturbing at times, haunting, unnerving. It follows this loss of a not-so-beloved family matriarch. Her spirit appears. Tragic things start to happen to her family. The pacing for the movie is really, really slow, but that adds to the tension, I think. The film gets pretty bizarre as well, but unlike most horror films, this one sticks with you for a while after you see it. There's some disturbing things that happen in this film that, again, I think viewers might end up shutting it off. But from a filmmaking standpoint, boy, I tell you what, they really captured something special here.
I guess it must be almost Halloween season because the scary stuff is out.
Yeah, yeah, it's out. And what's interesting about this film, it was so critically acclaimed, and that's one of the reasons why I thought, well, yeah, I have to look at this on video. People are talking about this being their choices for one of the best films of the year, you know, so the life of this film may actually extend past Halloween. We'll have to see. But I will say that it is pretty original, and again, get ready to be unnerved by what you see.
Wow. All right, Tim Lammers. Well, thanks for being very disturbing. I was hoping you would lighten it up. I mean, we're talking about Paul Manafort and obstruction of justice. I mean, we got Florence.
Next week. I will do that next week with a Jack Black and Cate Blanchett movie called The House with the Clock in the Walls. It's a scary one, but it looks fun as well.
Maybe some Disney. Maybe some complete fantasy. Something like that, Tim.
That's
you're the best.
Coming out with Mary Poppins later this year.
You're the best. Tim Lammers, always a pleasure, my friend. Great to hear
your
voice.
All right, thank you, Jordana. Have a great weekend.
And Tim's reviews are brought to us, as always, by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. I'll be back with a group of Minnesotans who are going to help out with Florence relief after the break on CCO.
Radio.com.
Nahama, the Jewish response to disaster, is preparing to respond to the effects of Hurricane Florence. Nahama is based here. These are Minnesotans that do the dirty work, the work that nobody wants to do. After FEMA leaves and after the storm is gone, they go in, they clean up, they serve the underserved. David Kaplan is the executive director of Nahama and this response, and he is sending a group of volunteers down to the North Carolina area on Sunday. David, welcome to the program.
Thanks again for having us.
So tell us, first of all, what is Nahama and what's the plan on Sunday?
So Nahama is a disaster response organization. We specialize in the immediate aftermath of a storm. We go in and we do what's called muck and gut work. So we go into people's homes and we begin to clean out the home after the water has receded. You know, flood water isn't, it's not like your bathtub overflowed. This is water that is mixed with raw sewage, with gasoline, horrible water. Anything it touches is just destroyed. And so we help homeowners by getting all their damaged goods out of there. We get rid of all the sediment and debris that comes in with the flood water. We gut the homes down to the studs anywhere that the water touched in order to keep mold from growing, and then we remove all the debris on their property, whether it's things that got destroyed and pulled off the home or things that got washed in with the water. We bring in chainsaws and run chainsaw teams to take down trees that need to come down or cut up trees that are on the ground already. And really, it's that dirty work that needs to happen right after a storm. Otherwise, mold starts to grow in these homes. People can't move back into them, and a large enough problem becomes even bigger by not addressing it right away.
How do you find the people? Are you aligned with the Red Cross or the government in any way?
So we're aligned with a large group of other organizations called VOAD. It's an umbrella group. VOAD stands for Voluntary Agencies Active in Disasters. So we have a joint database that we use. So when you're in the Carolinas and something and a storm like this happens, you call 211. Your information goes into a central database that we're able to pull from in order to figure out who needs help, where is the help needed, and to make sure that we're not duplicating services that other people are doing. These folks are already traumatized. There's a lot going on. They don't need 15 different organizations calling them, trying to help. They need one person to contact them and that one person to provide the assistance that they need. And so we all kind of work together with amongst ourselves. That includes the Red Cross, Salvation Army, and a lot of the other larger organizations as well.
And you don't get paid? You guys are totally volunteer?
So we have some paid staff. On Sunday, we're sending five of them to Atlanta. We pulled them out of our existing operations in Texas and Puerto Rico in order to do that.
But I mean, the homeowner doesn't pay them.
This is all free for the homeowner. So okay. we run 100% on donations from individuals. We don't charge the folks that we're helping whatsoever. It costs us about $1,500 per home. To fix, because we're able to leverage, last year close to 1,500 volunteers that worked with us. Mm-hmm. These same homeowners had to go out and pay for the work on their own. It'd be anywhere from $10,000 to $25,000 to have the same sort of cleaning services done.
That's unbelievable. And a lot of the homes and a lot of the areas you go to, I don't imagine they have good insurance to cover this.
No. So Nahama, we really focus specifically on vulnerable communities, at-risk communities, and low-income communities. That would be elderly homeowners, those with young children, homes that have disabled individuals. Generally, they don't have $1,500, let alone $15,000. And so without help from organizations like ours, their homes will stay like that for months after a storm. Mold will continue to grow. They will be living with friends and family on couches and shelters. The best way to help these individuals recover is to get them back in their homes as quickly as possible. It helps the family, helps get the kids back into schools, to put some money back into the local economy. And if homes sit empty for months and months on end, that doesn't help anybody.
So who's going with you on Sunday?
So we're sending down five of our staff and two of our lead volunteers. They're heading on down to Atlanta to stage. As you know, the storm is still ongoing. And we don't want to go into the affected region until first responders have finished their safety procedures, have gone door to door, have completed rescues, and the water has receded.
I see.
Middle part of next week, we'll start doing on-the-ground assessments and identifying communities to go into and meeting with local emergency management. And by the week after, we'll start bringing in anywhere from 30 to 45 volunteers a week in order to begin to do the work on the ground.
I'm always amazed that people can... that they go volunteer. I mean, your work, this stuff sucks. The muck and the guck and the raw sewage. I mean, this is not work that, you're not even connecting with folks. Some of these people have been evacuated.
Absolutely.
This is hard work. Who are these people that are going to do this?
You know, we like to say that Nahama is a melting pot of people of goodwill who really truly believe that a small group of dedicated individuals can make a difference in people's lives. And a lot of the time when you first get there, those first couple of days, the folks aren't around. But, by about a week and a half in, the homeowners start coming back. And what's amazing for a lot of our volunteers is they land up working side by side with the homeowner and with the homeowner's neighbors. And you get to hear their story. What happened to them? How did this affect them? And you get to know the people that you're helping. And it's a really rewarding experience to be down there and to do that. And also at the end of the day, it takes us only about a day to do a house. So you show up in the morning and a house is destroyed. And at the end of the day, you leave and it's cleaned out and it's ready to go. And those homeowners can come back and the roof is tarped. And, you see a tangible difference that you have made in that day. And for so many of our volunteers, that's just so meaningful to them because they start and they finish a project same day.
You know, I'm proud that we started this in our community, that Steve Lear and you are responsible for this in our community. And if people want to volunteer, how can they do that?
They should go to our website. It's Nahama, NECHAMA.org. You can sign up to volunteer. You can make donations right there. For every dollar that's donated to the organization, we're able to invest $1.63 into affected communities.
Wow.
So we're able to really take those dollars and leverage them really well by putting volunteers and donated supplies into the affected communities. So we're going to be looking for volunteers in 2 weeks. We're going to be looking for volunteers in 2 months. This is not something that's going to go away overnight. And, proof of that is we're still in Puerto Rico, we're still in Texas. We have teams in the field today in both those places. We expect to be in the Carolinas for months, if not years.
I'm getting texts on the text line, Dave. They say, one texter writes, I'll donate to this outfit. Give the name a lot. I'm working and I can't listen closely. So for you, kind listener, it's Nehama, NECHAMA.org. Correct, Dave?
That is correct, and we appreciate it.
Well, listen, thanks so much for the time, and thanks for what you do. When you come back, we'd love to hear some of the stories and maybe put some of the pictures on our Facebook page of what you've accomplished.
We would love that, and thanks again for having us again.
You got it.
Thank you, Jordan.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Again, it's Nehama is the organization, and the website is NECHAMA.org. I will put that up on the CCO Facebook site as well as the Paul and Jordana Facebook site. Incredible story about an elderly couple riding out the storm in an elderly home, in a dementia home down in the North Carolina area, what they did to celebrate their anniversary and ride the storm together. I'll share that with you after the break. But right now, I got to tell you that it's 3:48, and that's a Wicks and Jewelers time check. Explore an extensive collection of hand-selected diamonds, rare gemstones, and fine Swiss timepieces at Wicks and Jewelers in Bloomington. Welcome back. Just a little side note here about Hurricane Florence. We're hearing, of course, all of these tragedies that are going on. Our meteorologists, at the network are watching the storm as well. We'll be updating you. But here's a sweet story. Bob and Joan Derbyshire are together again. They managed to celebrate their 70th wedding anniversary as the storm moves through the Carolinas. Bob's 89. He lives in a separate nursing home in the area than his wife. She suffers from dementia, and she's near the coast of Wilmington. Well, the Davis community, like some other nursing homes, allowed members and residents and staff to stay in the building and ride out the storm. Pets were welcome, too. Because that building, their Davis Community Building, is able to withstand Category 4 winds. So between the structure and a backup generator and lots of supplies, they said they were prepared and they were secure. So both members of this couple moved into this community building. He's 89, she's 88. He sang her Itsy Bitsy Spider as the storm was coming through. He said, she's been taking care of me before she got dementia, so now I am going to take care of her. Their 70th anniversary was this week, and they managed to spend it together. They were 19 and 18 when they were married. And despite the storm, despite this almost apocalyptic storm, all these years later, they managed to spend their 70th anniversary together. What a beautiful story that is. Love conquers all, folks. I know it's a little Pollyanna right now, but in a dark time, sometimes you need great stories like this to come out of some tragedy. When we get back, so much to discuss on the show. We're going to talk, about sexual improprieties in coaches. Lots of coaches have been arrested lately, charges filed. We're going to talk a little bit about the vetting process. And then migrant children, almost 13,000 migrant children are in federal custody. And you know what? Nobody's coming to get them. Nobody's coming to claim them because the people that are supposed to claim them are afraid of being deported. What do we do with the kids? I'm going to open the phones. That's going to be at 4:35. Jordana here. I'll be back after the news.
How our local Humane Society is helping with animals affected by Hurricane Florence. That's at 4:03 on WCCO and KMNB-FM HD2, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.